Finish the verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and
all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay, then. What things? We have to read Matthew chapter 6 to find out. Let's sing Seek Ye First, number 411, as we begin Sunday school. You want to play it, Valerie, or should we do it? Okay. All righty. Valerie will get set, and then we'll start with 411, Seek Ye First. Welcome, everybody, to Sunday school on, I guess, a morning where some people are still groggy because it seems like it's an hour earlier. I'll include myself in that. Seek Ye First, number 411. Thank you, Valerie. I thank you for our Sunday school hour, and I ask as we open your word that you would teach us, that the Holy Spirit would give us understanding in our minds and also in our hearts. Father God, I ask you that we would seek you first in all that we do this month and this year ahead. And Father God, I ask you that those who are away today for health reasons will have your special healing touch. As Juanetta picks up Trudy and Rose, I ask you that you would give her safety as well as she drives. Thank you again for this hour together. May you guide Ken as he teaches, and Valerie also, and Jody. Father, I ask you that you would guide the teachers as they teach in their classes. For your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am going to, in terms of on the page, about a third of the way through last week, on this topic of the sins of the tongue. So I will kind of quickly review where we were, what we've gone through, and then we'll pick up and continue on the lesson. And we'll see when it finishes. I expected that I'd finish it today, but if we don't, we don't. I don't think Brian's going to be teaching the after we're done with this, Brian will be teaching, and he said, it's okay. He's not in a rush. He's looking forward to it, but I told him he's probably good till April, but then I didn't realize the 30th is still a Sunday, so we have a few more Sundays yet in the month. But all right, so let's go through this. Sins of the tongue. Again, we're talking the topic of this series is soberly assessing and transforming our attitudes toward acceptable sins, with being in quotes. There's no such thing as acceptable sins, but sometimes we might look at these as being acceptable. So, Roman numeral number one, sinful speech could be described as any speech, letter A, that tends to tear down another person, whether talking about or to that person. And then B, it could also be speech that is filthy or dishonors God or is not fitting for a Christian. Way back at the beginning of the series, we talked about many of these sins. We might kind of take them lightly, but they're not fitting for a Christian, just like you expect a certain behavior off of a military officer, so we expect a certain behavior from believers in our speech. The words we use, the way we talk, should be fitting for a Christian. And if it's not, then it would be sinful. Okay? Roman numeral number two, biblical input about the use of our speech. For one thing, very important points we made, God is aware of, and we will give account for every word we speak. I'll just read briefly. Psalm 139:4 says, "For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." And then in Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." So God is aware of, and we will give account for, every word we speak. All right, so that was Roman numeral 2a, and then Roman numeral 2b, the great potential harm of the tongue, without restraint, out of James 3. And we're not going to, again, we're just reviewing. I'll just read a couple of highlights here. Verse 2 of James 3 says, "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." We talked about that, that basically the tongue is the most challenging part of our body to control. If we can control the tongue, we can probably handle the rest of the body. Then also verse 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature," or our whole, those things which we influence, "and is set on fire by hell." The satanic host uses the tongue as a tool for evil. Then it goes on, verse 8, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." All right, so those were some of the great potential harm of the tongue without restraint. Then letter C, and this is where we were, I believe, characteristics and prospects, future prospects, if you will, of those who use words for evil. So we read, we're not going to go to all these, but you could turn, well, let's, turn to Psalms, and then we'll tell you where to go exactly. But Psalm 12, 1 to 4, it said, "For help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." The verse 2 says, "They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak." And then they go on to say, "May the Lord cut off all," or it says, the psalmist says, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and tongues that speak proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" Kind of pointed out that the Lord doesn't like a proud look, and he doesn't like proud lips either. Let's see. Then we read Psalm 5, 8 and 9 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction." We referenced it, made the point earlier too about that it's related to the heart, really, the way we speak, and we'll get to that at the end of the lesson. We'll focus on that. But then it says, "Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue." And that verse there, their throat is an open tomb. We went to Romans chapter 3, which is also, Romans chapter 3 is also in your list of references there, where we see that was quoted. In Romans 3:13, "Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they practice deceit," and so forth. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's in Romans 3. And then it talks more about those who aren't righteous, and their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways, and so forth. So the tongue got like the first 4 points of this list of evil, and then it got into other things, actually actions. So that's where we stopped. So let's look at, if you're in Psalms, look to chapter 52. Let's look at Psalm 52. So now we're back on track. Psalm 52, verses 1 to 5. So Psalm 52, verse 1 says, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually." We can praise God for that, right? The goodness of God endures continually. But then, verse 2, "Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. And what is the prospect of this person? God will likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. There's a lot. That's part of why this lesson is taking a while. The scripture talks a lot about the tongue, about speaking, about you can do it for good or you can do it for bad. And we're just talking here the characteristics and prospects of those who use words for evil. And then finally, let's go to the New Testament, James. I have James in there, 1:26. And just for reference sake, for context sake, if you go back to verse 22, James writing makes the point, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then he gets down here, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. King James says, vain. We say we're religious, but we don't bridle our tongue. We're deceiving our own heart. Our religion isn't, it's an empty religion. So again, this whole idea, and again, we talked in James 3, it talks in detail about the harm of the tongue if it's not restrained. Okay, any questions or comments about the characteristics and prospects of those who use words for evil that we covered there, or any others that you can think of offhand?
Let's say someone had special surgery on their jaw and could not speak. Is there still an issue here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not. And we'll get.
I looked ahead, and Matthew 12 addresses it.
Yes. Okay. Matthew 12 will address it. Yes. Pastor, for those of you who couldn't hear back there, he said, you know, suppose someone had special surgery on their jaw and couldn't speak. Would there still be an issue here? It's like, yes, there is, because it's not just literally what comes off the tongue past the lips. It's in the heart, and we will touch on that. Okay, so Pastor cheated. He said he looked ahead, so he saw. All right, so we're in the book of Psalms. And the letter D is, basically, you can probably guess what's here, characteristics and prospects of those who use words for good. Okay, the flip side of what we saw there. And the other ones. So let's look at Psalm 15. Sorry, I took you to the New Testament and then right back to the old again. Psalm 15. We'll read verses 1 to 3. That's what I have in your notes there too. So, all right, a psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. The idea, for one thing, again, we briefly touched on this with Pastor's comment, question, is the heart. He speaks the truth in his heart. I would think it would help him to speak the truth outwardly as well, but he's speaking in his heart. But he does not backbite with his tongue. That's the idea. Has the idea of slander, and we're going to get into that in a moment. Okay, so that's Psalm 15. Turn to Psalm 34. And I actually got confused when I was reviewing this myself, so I want to make sure you understand how I did this. In your references, it says Psalm 34:1, and then comma 12 to 13. So it's all Psalm 34, verse 1, and then verses 12 to 13. But let's look at verse 1. And this is what it should, this is how our mouth should be used. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We should have no hesitation to praise the Lord in our hearts, and it should come out from our mouth. But then let's go to verse 12. It says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? The answer? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. I'm going to go ahead and read further through verse 16. Depart from evil and do good. That would involve in action and in words. Seek peace, again, in action and in words, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Okay, I want you to stay there. Stay there in Psalm 34. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 3. Okay, so stay there where you are. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 3 and read a quote Peter does from that passage. I just like to do this sometimes because it shows again how Scripture, how the Holy Spirit led these writers and brought to mind and re-recorded, if you will, things that were already said in the Old Testament, but kind of validating them and validating both the Old and New Testament together. So as you look at, let's see, starting at verse 12 in Psalm 34 there, I'm going to start reading in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, and follow along as I read. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, Peter stopped at that point. He didn't repeat the part to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. But anyways, that's pretty neat, I think. Peter there quoting out of Psalm 34 about the tongue. If you want to love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So those are the characteristics and prospects of those who use words for good. Okay, now let's go to E. Your blank there is comparisons. Comparisons between effects of good versus evil speech. So we'll go to Proverbs now. You're in Psalms, so you don't need to go too far. I need to go back, though. Proverbs 10. Okay, Proverbs 10, 19 to 21. And this is, sometimes Proverbs, it's hard to get a grab on things because he doesn't spend long on particular topics. He'll say, make a statement, then go into something totally different. But look at this, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. That's, did you hear that? In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. What that tells me is the more you speak, the more you better be careful. And I guess that goes along with me standing up here and teaching, or a pastor being up here and preaching. The more we use words, sin can come out if we're not careful. So, but you just think of different personalities, and some people, they never stop talking, so they need to be careful. There could be sin there. Okay, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. So there you see some comparison back and forth. There's value, choice silver in the tongue of the righteous, but the heart, again, out of the heart the mouth speaks, but out of the heart the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. It can be feed, good, healthy, building up, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Okay. Oh, we're still in chapter 10. Look at, let's move ahead to verse 31 and 32. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And this is easy to do, so I want to be careful here. It just, something came to my mind. I think all of us are part of families of one sort or another, and not all of our families are always believers or whatever, and so there's different backgrounds, and we've said before that we can't expect the unbeliever to to appreciate these things, to be controlled by the Spirit, to do good. We shouldn't, but you do, there is the mouth of the wicked knows what is perverse. And you hear that sometimes, don't you? The person who doesn't care, who isn't upholding moral standards, it will come out of their mouth. So they know what's perverse. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. So we, as James encourages us, we need to use restraint in our tongue. We should know what's acceptable to say and what not to say. And again, verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. But the perverse tongue, what's the result of that? That tongue will be cut out. God's going to stop that. And we said before that God will stop all mouths. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 12, just a couple pages or so over. Proverbs 12. There is one, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Earlier we talked, there was one like a sharp razor. The tongue is sharp, But the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip will be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. And I know, I hadn't thought of this till just this moment, so I'm not, got to be careful saying it. But look at the way, the truthful lip shall be established forever. We know God is true. Jesus is true. His word is true. If we speak truth, truth endures. Truth lasts. And in fact, this shall be established forever. But lies don't have any foundation, right? So they're gone. They're just like, poof, it's but for a moment. So that's another comparison there between the effects of good versus evil speech. Now let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And this is kind of the climax of these verses, I think. It very powerful. Proverbs 18, verse 21. And Pastor mentioned this last week, you know, about that saying. And honestly, it's not true. It's sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'll be honest with you. It's not scripturally accurate. Okay, that's not true. But I remember my mom teaching me that, and it did help me through grade school. In the sense, it's like, oh, well, they sow this, I'm just going to let it roll off. It gave me an attitude about it, but it's not scripturally correct, okay? Look at this, verse 21 of Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm going to read a commentary. This is from John Gill. I think he was a Baptist preacher of the 1600s or so. Listen to what he said about this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He goes on, he says, of witnesses, according to the testimony they bear, of judges, according to the sentence they pass, of teachers, according to the doctrine they preach, of all men who, by their well or ill speaking, bring death or life. I should turn that around, actually. Well speaking would be life, ill speaking would be death, to themselves and others. Some by their tongues, by the too free use of them, or falsehood they utter, are the cause of death to themselves and others. And some by their silence, or by their prudent speech and prevalent intercession, secure or obtain life for themselves and others. Yea, judgment at the last day will proceed according to a man's words. Quote, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37. The tongue is the instrument either of a great deal of good or of a great deal of evil. So it can be either way. It can be life or it can be death. And then he, on the point where it says, and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof, he points out those that delight to be talkative, that love to use the tongue, whether in a good or in a bad way, shall accordingly be recompensed, shall enjoy the advantages or disadvantages arising from it. So I don't know if it can be done much better to express the importance of the use of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That gets pretty deep. Any questions or comments about that? Yeah, Denise?
Where you said when, you know, many words, that there's sin involved. I don't know how your version...
In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking.
Right. And I know many years ago I was convicted that, you know, to get on the telephone with another woman is not a good idea unless you have something specific that you're dealing with. And I'm not saying that's just women. I'm just saying that's what gossip is. That's what gossip does. That is sin when you start doing that. And it's so easy to fall into that kind of thing. So I many years ago, I don't pick up the phone and just call people and talk. It's because of this. Sin can easily creep in.
It can. Yeah, you're right. Free to, and you see that a lot, even on television or whatever, people using the phone a lot, right? Denise, we've seen that a little. So we need to be careful not speaking too much. Anybody else? Yeah, Shane.
I just find it interesting that we're talking about the tongue. James talks about it a lot.
Yep.
And it's talked about a lot in the Old Testament. That our taste buds, we taste sweetness and we taste bitterness. And that can come off your tongue as well, sweetness and bitterness, when
yeah,
we talk
absolutely.
To other people.
Yeah.
Or express our heart.
Yeah.
So I just find it interesting, the correlation of that.
That's true, kind of going in and going out, right? Sweet and bitter. When you just went off somewhere else totally, thinking about the tongue, and it's amazing. God created that to work, to receive food, to taste, and also to talk. With all those taste buds, it's incredible, incredible what God did. Yeah, Lord.
It almost seems like it's easier for a lot of people to be bitter and to criticize or, you know, say hateful things or things like that, as opposed to uplifting and being encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And people need encouragement. They need happy thoughts, you know, as opposed to the alternative.
Yeah. So. You're right. It is so easy. And why is that?
Why is it so much easier to speak bitter thoughts or negative things to people as opposed to uplifting things? Why is it easier for us to do it that way? Why is it more natural, I guess I should say?
Natural man.
Because we're sinners.
Because we're the natural man. Yeah, so these things, just a reminder, every one of these sins we've covered through this whole series, including this one, it's a matter of being controlled by the Spirit of God. And if we don't have the Spirit of God, we can't expect people to be controlled by it. But those of us who do, because we still have the sinful flesh as well, there is a struggle with it. But that's excellent, Laura. And again, we're not going to finish this lesson, but that's what we're trying to do in this lesson, is get a hold of our thoughts so that we speak more of the positive things. So let's get into anybody else before we get into these different Roman numeral 3 is different types of sins of the tongue. That's your blank there. Different types of sins of the tongue. But before we do that, any more comments or questions? I always get really encouraged by when people make comments that really wonderfully fit into the lesson as a whole and lead into the next things. And Denise made a point, letter A now, gossip. She mentioned again, if you get on the phone, if you just kind of get on the phone to chat, it can very easily lead to gossip. So what is gossip? And these are just kind of working definitions that the author put in here, and I think they're good. The spreading of unfavorable, as opposed to favorable, like Laura was pointing out,
unfavorable information about someone else, even if based on truth, though is often based on rumor. So that's one thing about gossip. Okay, it's unfavorable information about someone else, even if based on truth, though it's usually based on rumor. So again, what tempts one to gossip? Why is gossip so popular? Yeah, Gary.
I think gossip to a lot of people who do gossip, it makes them feel better about themselves. You know, it's so easy to be negative, say, that person did this, and that person did that, and that person did that, and therefore I'm not that bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord doesn't judge us that way. You're either a sinner or you're not a sinner, and we're all sinners.
That's right.
Okay? That's my opinion.
You nailed it. Yeah. You nailed it. Indulging in it seems to feed one's cynical ego. It makes us feel self-righteous by comparison. It's like, hey, you know. And you think about
it. I'm not so bad.
Stop yourself and ask the question, if you're beginning to talk about like that, if you're beginning to gossip, saying,
yeah, am I being proud here? Am I building myself up next to that other person? And that will hopefully stop us short.
Yes, Kathy.
Laura said boredom.
Boredom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go.
And I think people, when you gossip, it's almost like you're making yourself feel more important, like you have something to say. Like, you've got something that somebody else needs to know, mm-hmm. and you're the know-it-all type person that, okay, I've got this information that you need to hear about that mm-hmm. you didn't know, and
there's some sense where that kind of talks about ego as well, and that I know something that's more important that you don't know. Yeah. Yes.
In 3 John, we see the character or person, Diotrephes, mm-hmm. and it's spoken of him that he was prating about. It's the only place that word is used. But his purpose was to build himself up and to tear others down. Mm-hmm. And that's quite often what gossip does.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, again, the spreading of unfavorable information, it's not something to build somebody up. I can't think of, basically, the definition of gossip precludes building somebody up. Yeah, Juanetta.
A listener is also participating mm-hmm. in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's the other side of it. You're participating if you're listening.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to be the speaker of all the words to participate in the sin of gossip.
Tell you what, we're going to stop there at gossip. And wow, we didn't get far, but I think it was a good lesson. You remember?
Yeah, I was just participating and listening can be just as bad. I mean, if you're listening to gossip, you know, you need to just, it's hard, but you need.
The Lord, we've seen through Proverbs the power of it, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it is powerful. Help us to respect that, to be in awe of you as we desire to be obedient to you, to control our tongue, to use it for edifying and not for tearing down. And just prepare the way for the lesson next week as we, Lord willing, finish this up. We pray you'd bless the service now to come, that we truly, our worship would be pleasing in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.